and welcome to the Beer Nuts Productions podcast. My name is Goff, and today I am joined by a very special guest. This lady is a wheelchair athlete of quite some note. She's been in all sorts of competitions all over the world, winning all kinds of medals and achievements. It's Natasha Price. How are you doing today, Natasha?
Hey, I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm very well indeed.
Awesome.
Now, the number one thing, obviously, as my understanding, is marathons. You've decided, for whatever reason, you are aware that you could just go 100 metres, but you've decided to choose marathons as your thing. Why? Why marathons?
I'm crazy. That's the simple answer. I just like the challenge of the distance.
There was nothing else that drew you to it?
No, nothing at all. I just wanted to see how far I could go with my arms. And turns out that 42K seems like a pretty good distance.
Fair enough. I was expecting something deep and meaningful, but no. So why choose athletics in the first place? What was it that drew you to athletics as a sport? Because there's hundreds of sports you could choose.
There is.
Why athletics?
I love sport in general. Any kind of movement, anything I can do, I really like to get my teeth into. But with athletics, I was a junior athlete. I was a sprinter, and as an able bod, and I guess I wanted something much more challenging. Now I'm in a wheelchair and a little bit older, something to get my teeth into, and this is where I just fell and ended up, I guess.
Fair enough. Now, obviously, those people who have seen wheelchair athletes on the TV or live in person knows that you don't just rock around in your regular old wheelchair. You need a specially designed wheelchair. Can you take us through the ins and outs of the chair that you race in?
So in a regular day chair, it's, you know, just a normal setup with your two big wheels and two small front wheels at the front, just cube-shaped. However, with a race chair, it's a three-wheel setup. Mine's made of carbon fiber wheels on the back, and then a smaller carbon fiber wheel at the front. Very, very lightweight. I can lift the whole thing up with just one hand. And very, very aerodynamic. You sit in a bucket seat that comes up under your rib cage, and you just lean forward and propel yourself.
How comfortable or uncomfortable is it?
Extremely uncomfortable.
Is it?
Yes. So, it takes some getting used to, that's for sure.
So when you're doing a marathon which goes for, what is your best, actually, yeah, that's a good question. What is your best time for a marathon? What's your PB?
2 hours.
2 hours flat?
Yes, yeah.
Wowee. Okay, so for 2 hours, because obviously I've been to events and I've seen it live in person, you are obviously crunched over into a forward position.
Yes.
And you say you've got things digging in under your armpits. Two whole hours?
Yes, pretty much. First marathon I ever did, I pulled my thumbnails off with the gloves that you have to use. I managed to get severe burns underneath my arms, and I've still got scarring there from the burns from the weather wheels had rub on the top underneath of my biceps.
So wore the skin away?
Yes, pretty much. And there's always a bit of injury there from doing a little bit of training.
And yet you choose to still do it?
Yes. Told you I'm crazy. Absolutely nuts.
Well, you must obviously love it. What is it about it that you absolutely love?
I guess the atmosphere. When you go to these events, there's just such a camaraderie. There's so many supportive people out on the course, not just other wheelchair racers, but the able-bodied athletes as well. I just love it. And just the high from getting out there and letting me see what my body will do.
So yeah. Just the thrill of competition?
Absolutely.
No, cool.
Always.
I like that a lot. That's the correct answer.
Yep.
Now, I would assume as well, again, it's just an assumption, but for a wheelchair athlete, it's going to be a lot more expensive than an able-bodied athlete just because of the extra stuff that you need. What sort of costs are we looking at for you to compete in, let's say, for example, there was a marathon tomorrow in Melbourne, right?
Yep.
What sort of costs are we looking at for you to actually race and compete?
So we have to buy everything from the race chair, which if you're looking at something like I've got that's all carbon fibre with the carbon fibre wheels, it's about $16,000. Then you have to buy your race gloves, which are up to $500 for a pair, your helmet and all the other little bits and pieces to protect yourself.
How long does a pair of gloves last for? Because you say you rip off your thumbnails. Do they go through them pretty quick?
Yeah, I mean, I probably get through one pair a year.
Okay.
So it's not too horrendous, but they can wear down, the rubber on them can wear down pretty quickly, so that needs replacing pretty often.
But I interrupted, so go on with the cost, like money that we're forking out.
I mean, you've got race costs, which is exactly the same as for an able-bodied athlete, you know, $200 to $300 for a full marathon race, and just travel and all that kind of stuff getting there. But yeah, it's expensive because of the maintenance and things like that on the race chair, and you know, there's a fair few costs involved with that.
Are the race chairs, again, I've got no idea, but are the race chairs like, you know, the like Olympic sprinters with cycling?
Yeah.
You know, they can rip the wheels off and replace wheels and stuff like that. Do you have the ability to do that? So if you get like a bald tire, or you need to replace a wheel, or is it the whole chair needs to?
No, you can, but if you're in the middle of the race, obviously it's a lot more difficult if you're in a wheelchair, because you have to find a way of getting out of the chair onto the floor and then do whatever maintenance it is. And if you haven't got the ability to do that self, if it's an athletic sanctioned event, you can't make those repairs anyway.
Oh, so you
because you're not allowed chair? To you're not allowed assistance. So yes, it's I've been known to finish races with flat tires and all sorts of other issues, because that's the only choice you have.
Well, that's a thing I never thought of before. Like, you're going on roads, like a normal marathoner goes on roads, you're going on roads as well. Now, roads throw up all kinds of obstacles.
They do.
Do you have to, because your head's down while you're racing.
Yes.
You're not, do you have to sort of have one eye on the road in front of you to make sure there's no bits of broken glass or anything like that? Or,
I mean, most racers would do. I can't see a damn thing, so, you know, visually impaired. So it's always very, very interesting. I ended up having a crash on the bridge to Brisbane a couple of years ago. Ended up breaking my collarbone because I didn't see a barrier that came up very quickly in front of me. So those are the kind of things that happen. But, you know, it's just one of those things that you deal with.
Are you allowed to, because obviously me being blind and all, like if I was to go in the Paralympics, which I'm not about to because I'm not athletic, but obviously I would have a sighted guide for any sort of running event. Are you allowed to have any kind of sighted guidance?
There's not actually a ruling around it, because really they only take into account one disability or the other. If I was a blind racer, they wouldn't be able to take the wheelchair into account. So I race as a wheelchair racer. Now, there has been some discussion over what I could do. I have, in the past, before I was an internationally classified athlete, I raced with a bike rider in front of me to guide me. But now I'm not really supposed to do that, because it can be counted as a pacer. And obviously, we're not allowed pacing, so yes, a bit of controversy.
What about like a headset, somebody sort of commentating?
Yeah, no, you're not allowed any electronic devices or anything like that. So yeah, that's completely out of the question. Not even allowed your phone anywhere near you during a race.
Okay,
yeah.
All right, fair enough. And so I'm always keen when I chat to athletes about their training regime. So leading up to a race, what are we looking at to get your body ready to have a marathon? What are you doing?
So I do around about an hour and a half strength training in the gym every day. I also do 20 to 30 Ks in my racing chair. And obviously it's 2 weeks before my next event now, the Gold Coast Marathon. So I'm starting to scale things back a little bit, getting a little bit more rest and recovery time in, because obviously that's really important.
Well, that brings me, so this might be the dumbest question of all time, but it's something I'm genuinely curious about, right? So when you see athletes, footballers do it a lot, but also athletics people as well, they need to get recovery into their legs, so they go and have just ice baths up to their waist, or they jump in the ocean with a big overcoat on and just let the cold water. Now, obviously, you don't use your legs. You use your arms and your shoulders and whatnot. Is there like a special ice bath or ice pack? Like, what do you do to get recovery into your arms?
A couple of things I do. I actually use the EMF Performance Centre in Nerang. They have compression arm recovery devices there that I use once weekly. They also have hot and cold baths that are at floor level, so we just jump in and out of those for 3 minutes at a time.
So what, you go up to your neck?
Yes.
And what part are you looking to recover most? Is it your shoulders? Is it your back? Or
shoulders for the most part. My back's pretty strong, but I end up with a lot of shoulder injuries. So for me, that is, and it's also, if you think about it, it's the area that I use to mobilize my entire body. So if I've got problems there, then I'm not able to move at all. So any wheelchair racer will do a lot of work to make sure that their shoulders stay as healthy as possible.
And is that also in the gym? You're doing a lot of shoulder press and a lot of military press,
absolutely,
all that sort of stuff?
Absolutely.
Cool. Now, in regards regards to your actual racing career itself, take us through some of the highlights, because I know that you've been racing a while and you've done quite a few high achievements. Take us through some of the stuff that you've done.
Yeah, I do okay.
Talk yourself up, Natasha.
So for me, I guess the big win that I had was in 2019, the Auckland Marathon. Came out with first place there. I was really, really proud of that because I actually was only 6 weeks out from a nasty head injury. I don't remember anything about that event whatsoever. I'm missing 3 months of my life, and the race was right in the middle, yet I still came out with the first place, so I'm pretty pleased. recently been to Nationals at Olympic Park in Sydney. That was pretty cool, during doing track racing. interesting for me because, as I just said, I'm predominantly a marathoner, but I enjoy getting the competition in when we're out of season, so that was good fun.
So this also might be a dumbass question, but I don't know. But when you're doing the track races, because it's a more sprint sort of a thing,
yeah.
Do your arms need to go like the clappers? Whereas with marathon, you can be more rhythm based. Whereas sprints, you've got to be fast, fast, fast.
Yeah. The sprint is more the quick muscle fibers. You're moving your arms much quicker, trying to get around the wheel, push rims as quick as possible. Whereas with the marathon, you pace yourself. You take much bigger strokes, and it's I guess there's more of an art to it, so a bit more technique involved.
Would you say rhythm comes into it? You know how they say, for example, a lot of athletes in cricket they say bowlers need to have a good rhythm.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is it the same sort of thing for you?
Absolutely. And I think it's exactly the same as when you're an able-bodied runner. Your footwork and the pace at which you move your legs is extremely important. So it's exactly the same with your arms.
Now, you're also involved in Parasports Queensland. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
So we're a new organisation that we're just setting up now in order to get as many disabled people into sport as possible in Queensland. There's, we're predominantly involved with just wheelchair racing at the moment, but moving into the future, we're looking at more sports. We want to be the contact point for disabled athletes who want to go out and try different sports, that want to, you know, fulfill their lifelong dreams of having fun and just getting involved. So we're hoping that people will come to us as that contact point to put them in touch with whatever organisations they want to be involved with.
And that's not like, we're not talking about world champion athletes, we're
not
talking about anybody on any level?
Absolutely. You know, from beginners right up to, you know, the higher levels. If they're based in Queensland, then we're the people to come to.
And so what can sporting bodies, generally speaking, how can they be more accessible and more inclusive?
I guess the problem with so many sporting organisations at the moment is that they don't understand that what disabled sport actually involves, and they need to perhaps take the stance that everybody wants to be involved in something, so need to be able to direct people to the right places and the right equipment. So many organisations are unaware of the extra adaptations that we need in order to make these sports work for us. So that's where we're trying to make a difference, really.
Well, how do you educate them? How do you tell them? Do you get on the phone to Swimming Australia and say, hey?
Yeah, that would be the ideal way, but talking to the right people isn't the easiest thing to do. I guess for us, it's about raising awareness either through social media and just through events and talking on podcasts like this, just having the opportunity to speak to other organisations, other groups, other people that are interested in what we're doing and perhaps opening their eyes a little bit.
Well, can you give me an example? So let's say athletics, because that's your number one thing.
Yeah.
So athletics, you want to, how are we going to encourage, well, also how are we going to encourage more people in a wheelchair to take up athletics for a start? And also then how do we make sure they get the right equipment, and how do we talk to the governing bodies to make sure that they can be included and be treated like a normal human being?
I guess the biggest stumbling block for many, many, many people who want to take up these sports is access to equipment. It's expensive and it's hard to come by, and the NDIS often doesn't fund athletic style equipment.
Should they?
They should, yes. They absolutely should, because at this point in time, it's a piece of equipment you need that able-bodied people do not need. So why shouldn't they help us in order to go out and achieve those goals? If health and fitness, which is something that's so hard for people in a wheelchair or using a mobility device or with a disability to take part in. They should help us to achieve those goals so that we're kept out of the health system, so that we're able to be fit and healthy just like anybody else.
So it's one of those things, you know, a long-term look at it. You're going to say, like, governments, for example, are going to save money in the long term if we get people fit and healthy.
Exactly. They you're kept out of hospital. It helps with mental health. There are so many factors to being involved in sport that the government needs to look at as a positive and in the long run. So, you know, guys, do it.
Well, it's just common sense.
Exactly.
We could give this person a couple of $1,000 so they can participate,
yeah,
or we can spend $100,000 when they're in hospital with all manner of troubles.
Exactly right.
Well, you know, makes sense to me.
I think we've just solved all the government's issues now.
But what about sporting bodies themselves? What can an actual sport, like what can Athletics Australia, for example, do to help folks in any disability, not just wheelchairs, but all manner of disabilities, help them? If governments aren't going to come to the rescue, then surely the sporting bodies could put their hand up and help as well.
There's a lot of issue with sporting bodies that are supposed to represent all sports within disability, but unfortunately they can only get funding for very, very small number of sports. For example, Sporting Wheelies in Queensland, they focus purely on, I think, rugby, basketball and boccia, which is all well and good, but what about all the other plethora of sports that people with disabilities would like to be involved with, but because they live in Queensland, they can't. So there needs to be a focus on a wider number of sports, and funding bodies need to come to the table in order to make that happen. I don't know how that needs to happen, but it needs to.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough. So what's coming up for you? What can people look forward to Natasha Price doing?
Okay, so I've got a number of marathons coming up now. Obviously, Gold Coast Marathon in 2 weeks' time. Then the Jetty to Jetty in Moreton Bay. Then we've got Sunshine Coast Marathon. I've recently found out that I've qualified for the World Championships at the London Marathon. However, I don't know if that's going to be something that happens or not with the whole COVID situation. So we will see in October if that actually takes place. If not, hopefully next year.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Well, the very best. Also, I should probably ask, if people want to learn more about Natasha Price and also Parasports Queensland, where can they go? What can they do?
They can look me up on Instagram. I am the Invincible Woman. They can also check out my website, tashaprice.com.
Very cool. So everybody make sure you do that and jump on board and support this young lady in what she is doing, because she's going to be a champion. And you,
thank you.
You heard it all here first at Beer Nuts Productions. So, well, maybe not. You have spoken to other people, but we'll just pretend for the purposes of this.
Exactly. Just you.
Yeah. It's all about me.
Exactly right.
That brings us to the end of this week's episode of the Beer Nuts Productions podcast. Thank you so much, Tash, for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
No, I really do appreciate it. It's been really interesting. But yes, that brings us to the end. And of course, make sure you like and subscribe to the podcast. Leave a friendly comment, because that is always helpful. Rate and review. And of course, beernutsproductions.com is your one-stop shop for all your entertainment needs. So until next time, we will talk to you then.